Holy God, speak now, for we're listening. Speak, God, so that we'll get a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of love, be reminded of how much you love us and that we should love one another. Speak, Lord God, for we're listening. And then, Holy Spirit, come with all of your quickening power and quicken us, compel us to do God's will. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Jesus, the risen Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
And now, friends, here we are today. God has given us yet another day. Some of us are more weary than others, but we're still standing and we give God thanks and praise. Sometimes in life, you know, we think we could do more than we can do. It's a good thing to be reminded at times that, you know, we're getting older. Thanks be to God for life. My sermon title today is Even the Gentiles. Even the Gentiles. You know, when someone says even Marjorie can do that. You know, there's always a play on word. You remember the word nevertheless? Every time I go somewhere, somebody tells me, I use it somewhere else when I preach, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Well, even is one of those words, you know. Such and such did this. It's always a qualifier. You know that. Such and such can do that. Even she can do it. You know, once they say even, it means that you're not at the first position, right? In the first place, they weren't really thinking about you. You know, they all should got, even her got an A? Have you ever had that? Even her got an A?
Every day.
That even word is something. And so when you see in the text, you know, when you read the text, you look for these little nuances, right? You ought to. But you're not preachers, you don't have to. But you see these, you know, you read the same thing over and over again, and you need to find these things. And so today, it is the even portion. Even the Gentiles. You know, they were talking about us. Even those Gentiles. You mean God is going to come for those Gentiles. I read it several times and I smiled. And Peter and the folks were saying that. And here it is, we're going to talk about it today. So let me begin with a reflection. Worshipping with people we didn't handpick, the writer says. Worshipping with people we didn't handpick. Writer and NPR commentator Heather King, a recovering alcoholic who has come to faith in Christ, reflected on her initial experience with the church. My first impulse was to think, my God, I don't want to get sober, or in the case of the church, to worship with these nutcakes, or boring people, or people with different politics, taste in music, food, books, or whatever. I don't want to worship with these people. Nothing shatters our egos like worshiping with people we didn't handpick. You know, we've not been handpicked. You know that. We've been handpicked by Christ. The humiliation of discovering that we are thrown in with extremely unpromising people, people who are broken, misguided, wishy-washy, out for themselves, people who are us. But we don't come to church to be with people who are like us in the way we want them to be. We come because we have staked our souls on the fact that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that the church is the best place, the only place to be while we struggle to figure out what that means. We come because we are hard pressed to say which is the bigger of the two scandals of God, that he loves us or that he loves everyone else. So we come to church to realize that God loves us and that God loves everyone else. Very odd for us to believe, Christian believers, right? God loves us, and God loves even the folks that we have not handpicked to be in church. One writer says, God never intended God's boundaries to be less than the whole world. Therefore, none of us have a monopoly on God's love. Do you know that? We don't have a monopoly on God's love. You know, I think God loves me best. But you know, that's not true, right? We may feel like we do when we look down on someone different than we are, or when we snicker at someone's misfortune, or when we say, thank you, Lord, that I am not like them. Have we ever done that? Thank you, Lord, for I'm not like them. Or when we say, it's too bad they don't believe as I believe. But woe be unto us whenever we reek of such arrogance. For when we try to restrict God's grace to ourselves, we cut ourselves off from that very grace. Why? The writer says, they may have said it best. Pierre Teilhard de Chardin might have said it best. It is impossible to love Christ without loving others. And it is impossible to love others without moving closer to Christ. And so we're going to look at Simon Peter today, friends. Simon Peter had that problem, didn't he? I'm holding on today because, you know. Oops. You know what I'm talking about. I may have to get one of the canes. I thought for a moment I would stand there, but it's not my style. I cannot be contained, but I'm just gonna hop. Glory to God. Now let's look at Peter. We just heard the text, right? Peter is gonna get a vision. And why is Peter getting a vision? Because even though Peter became a Christian, right? And even though Christ had forgiven Peter, right? He had denied Christ three times. Christ had forgiven Peter. And Christ had told Peter on that day, we'll talk about it in a couple of weeks in June on Pentecost, you know, because this is an Acts story. I'm coming from Acts today, the Acts of the Apostle. Christ had told him, you know, on the day of Pentecost, people came from all over, from everywhere, to receive the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus was going to be ascended, he said, go into all the world to preach the gospel, right? To Judea, to Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria. He had told him, that means if you're going to go into all the world to preach the gospel, you're going to meet all kind of people. Right? He didn't say come into Hicksville to preach the gospel, or stay in your neighborhood. He says, go forth and go preach. So you're going to meet all kinds of people, all kind of nutcases. You know, people think we're nutcases, we who are believers. You know that. They're talking about us. Peter still didn't get it. Because Peter was trying to put the folks under Jewish law that even though they were going to be Christians, they were pagan who would become Christians, they were non-believers, they were Gentiles, they wanted them, like, you can't eat certain things. Right? Because why? Because Peter had come under law. Come from the law. You can't eat pork. You can't eat this. You got to be kosher. You had to eat a kosher meal. And so we read in the text, it says, now the apostle and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. They heard that the Gentiles, those Gentiles, remember the Gentiles were the one, if you remember the story in the Bible, where the woman wanted the bread and off the table, and Jesus would say, you know, I first come for the children of Israel. I'm not going to give you the bread. You can't get it now, so that the disciples could hear. And she says, even the little dogs, you know, deserve the bread off the table. Because the Gentiles were called little dogs. Right? Deserve the bread off the table. Peter, wonderful Peter, who was following Christ, he had been brought back into relationship with Christ. He had been reinstated. Right? Now he had forgotten. Sometimes we who have sinned against God, we forget that we have sinned. That we were yet sinners. Do you know we were all yet sinners here? I'm raising my hand but so you all could see me. We are all yet sinners. And we still sin. I'm a sinner saved by grace. So I no longer have a proclivity to sin, but I can sin. Right? And I have to ask God for forgiveness. It is because of Christ's death on the cross, his finished work on the cross, while we are saved. But yet we will see somebody else out there who's probably doing exactly what we're doing, what we used to do. Right? You see, here's what one writer says, one professor said. The doors of the church are open for everyone to come in just the way they are. But that does not allow them to stay the way they are. Everybody could come in the way we are. But we all got to be under transformation. We could all come in the way we are. But we are not welcome. He says the doors of the church are welcome for everyone to come in the way we are. But we are not welcome to stay the way we are. We are all under change and transformation. We should be. So that we can be reconciled to Jesus Christ. Is there anyone without sin? Cast the first stone. We have to be reconciled. We come to this church. This argument of reconciliation has been taken up by some group. Reconciliation does not belong to one group. Reconciliation is a God word. Everybody is in need of reconciliation to Christ. When we lie, we sin against God. When we steal, we sin against God. When we gossip, we sin against God. We are in need of reconciliation, every one of us. We have to ask for forgiveness and be reconciled to a holy God. When we commit adultery and all the other things we do, we are in need of forgiveness and grace and to be reconciled to God. So when we point our fingers and say, well, I don't do that, only those people do that, we are in trouble of then, I think it's Ron, so he's going to leave it, then, you know, having this situation wherein we are having these folks not welcome. Doesn't mean when you welcome people that you're not going to preach and let them know that sin is sin. Sin is sin. The Bible is the word of God. The fact that the doors of the church are open, everybody's welcome to come in, doesn't mean if I'm an adulterer and I'm having an affair out there when I come into church, the affair is okay. That's the problem. People get into this idea that when you come in, you should do whatever you want to do. We cannot do whatever we want to do. Yes, we can, but we're not getting into heaven. That's not what the word says. There's only one word. This is only one word. People could try to change it. There's none up here, but there's only one word. I got it. It's okay. One word. The word of God doesn't change. I said to my bishop on Monday, I said, listen, is everything in the word I love? It's not everything in the word I love. I read the Bible sometimes, the Old Testament. I read it and I says, oh my God, the whole nation got killed. But they did something and got killed. But I said to him, God does not ask me for, there's no book in the Bible called agreement. There's no book in the Bible says, I want your agreement. What God asks us to do is to what? Obey his word and to trust him. Trust him in what to do. Peter had to get that. Peter had to realize that, listen, these folks are Gentiles and they eat different kinds of meat and they're used to Gentile stuff, but salvation had come for them. I may disagree with people theologically, but I'm never going to tell them that salvation is not for them. I may have to tell them, they have to change their lives. Just like I have to change my life. I have to live for Christ. And my understanding of me living for Christ is from the Word. You may have a different understanding of how you want to live for Christ, but then that's up to you. Because we stand alone before God on that day of judgment. We, each of us. But that doesn't mean we don't welcome everybody we see. Tell them, hey, God loves you. But does God love everything that we do? Is every parent in here love everything that their children do? Do we love all the things our kids do when they're rude to us, when they backtalk us, when they... No, we don't. So God as a parent does not. So Peter was going to get his lesson. So when Peter went to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. They were circumcised. What does that mean? They were Jews. And they were criticizing him because how could you go sit and eat with those Gentiles? Those Gentiles. That's us, you know. Yes, I'm going to get to the even those Gentiles. And God would give him a vision, right? He'd get a vision from Jesus that he saw. You heard the text read, right? And he saw the animals going up and down. You're getting it up and down. And three times. You know, Peter seems to need to get everything three times. Don't you notice that? He denied Christ three times. They had to forgive him three times. Jesus had to show him this now three times again. He doesn't get it at the first time, Peter. You know what I mean. And the Lord is showing us things also. You know that. Some of us is three times. Some of us is 20 times. Anybody here, God is still showing something. And he's been showing it when they were 20. And he's still showing us. Some of us are 20 times. Good old Peter, it only takes three times, it seems. Wish I'd be like Peter. I get it on the first mark, but at least by the third time I get it. Three times. And he says, nothing that I make clean is unclean. I'm summarizing the text for you. Nothing that I make clean. Nothing, Jesus is saying. No matter where you're from, no matter what. It doesn't matter if I make you clean, whether I like it or not. If I make you clean, God is saying it's not unclean. So Peter is going to give them the message. He's going to tell them, he's going to get this. And I don't think Peter is ever going to mess up again. Nowhere in the Acts of the Apostle, not even in his letters, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd and 3rd, no, 1st and 2nd Peter, he's going to get it. Right? And so he goes on to say, here's the part that I like. He says, and I remember the word of the Lord, how he had said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? If God then gave, listen, make it personal. Now, my ex-husband, if he was not saved and God saved him, who am I to hinder it? I may be mad with him that I'm his ex. Maybe he ran off with all of our money, I don't know. I'll have to track him down. I may run off with, and I could make a list of what he has done. But if he turns his life around and God saved him, who am I to hinder him? Do you see? The fact that you don't like something or you don't like someone, and as Christians, we should be loving everybody, shouldn't we? Loving my Christ. Who am I to hinder? You know, I've been thinking about Eddie being in heaven and I being in heaven. And even though I've tried to renegotiate that, I'm telling you, Helen, the ex will be in heaven. We'll talk later. We can't stop that, right? If they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is the key. If they accept, it's a gift from God. Right? You can't stop it. So he goes on, he says, if then God gave them the same gift that he has given us, who am I? When they heard this, they were silenced. They were silenced. And they praised God, saying, then God has given even to the Gentiles.
Amen.
That's the text. Even to the Gentiles, the repentance that leads to life. even to us. We were not born from Abraham's seed. We were grafted in by faith because we believe. And God has given it even to us. Oh my God, that even word. I'm going to be telling a whole bunch of people that. Even to the prostitute. God has given life because they repented of their sins, accepted Christ, even. You see, even suggests that it comes just before or just, it becomes just after or just before the sentence. It's always even me, even little old me, God would send Jesus Christ to save. Isn't that amazing for us this morning?
Amen.
It is a gift from God. It is a gift from God. Peter emphasizes that both the Gentiles and the Jewish believers hold in common is the gift from God. It is not immediately clear what the gift is. It could be the Holy Spirit. It could be repentance that leads to life. It could be salvation. While the work of the Spirit seems to be the primary reference here, I would suggest that it's all above. That God gave the Gentiles everything that the Jews, that he had brought for the Jews.
Praise the Lord.
Gave it to us. The Holy Spirit. Repentance that leads to life. Gave to us salvation. And we too can be saved. We too can accept him. Isn't that amazing? Nobody can brag. We can't brag, friends. We can glorify and accept, but we cannot brag because it's given to everyone. I want all the world to know that. I want folks who are on drugs to know that. Folks in prison. Folks who are doing all kinds of stuff. Let them know that the gift of life is theirs, just like it's for us who are cleaned up and sitting in the church. Oh, God Almighty. Huh? Because God can see underneath the cleaned up stuff. He knows us. You know, he's the only one who knows underneath the cleaned up stuff. You see how cleaned up I am now? God knows before it was cleaned up. Oh, glory to God this morning. I got to go sit down because I'm getting, you know, I've been walking yesterday. I'm adding more things now. God knows all our stuff. There's nothing hidden from God.
Amen.
Yet he would give us this gift that we too can be saved. Don't you get excited just based on that?
Praise God.
The giving of the Holy Spirit of repentance of life and salvation relate to each other. To receive it, one must receive it all. We receive it all. When we repent, we receive it all from God. And so friends, today it is based on that love that Christ assess for us. So therefore, as Christians, we want to watch show love, even in disagreement. So I was having a little discussion with my bishop, and he says, you know, Marjorie, you know, I love you. I love both sides of the debate. I love both sides. He says, I love you, because hate is terrible. Hate is a waste of time. He says, I love you, Marjorie. And I said, Bishop, I'm going to love you forever. Don't matter what we may agree on and disagree on, whether it's a push or whether it's whatever it may be. I said, why do I have to love you? Because Jesus said, I gave you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Right? That you love one another. Love does not come with that agreement. I love my daughter, but I don't love everything she does, and she doesn't love everything I do. But doesn't mean I don't love her. Doesn't mean that we may disagree. And we're going to disagree theologically and stuff. It's never going to end because we're human beings. But doesn't mean we can't love and have respect for each other. The Christian mark. Love is the basic to being Christian. If we love not, we are not. There is something that we must do. And this is not talking, Jesus was not talking about subjugating what you believe under what somebody else believes. That's not what love says. Right? There are those of us who believe that the Bible is the Word of God. There are those of us who believe that the Bible is unchanging Word of God. There are those of us who believe that our souls are held captive to the Word of God. The other people believe that reason is more important. and experience. So we can debate that as human beings, but you know what? We each have to stand before God for ourselves on that day of judgment. There's no bishop, there's no professor, there's no husband, there is no spouse, there's no one who's going to stand before God for us but us. But while we're at it, we need to love one another. Do I agree with everybody here theologically and everything? I'm sure you don't agree with me. I'm a Bible-believing pastor. I believe the Bible is the Word of God. I'm going to believe it till I die. My last breath, I'm going to believe, because there's no turning back for me. I'm heaven-bound. Could happen right now while I'm talking to you. But I'm going to love you. Yes, I am, because I'm commanded to love you. And it's so easy to love you anyhow. Some folks, not so much, but I'm working on it. You know what I'm saying? Starting with Helen back here. That's why I love her so much. Because when it's your heart to love, you got to love them more. Thanks be to God. And so, this is where we stand, friends. That we know that Christ loves us. Love's simplicity is its attraction. It's transforming power to glory. Could you imagine when you love someone? It's just an amazing thing. Jesus knew that the disciples needed that as I close. He knew that. You know why? Because they were going to meet all kind of people. He knew that. And they're going to meet Jews and Gentile people they don't agree with. And he wanted a new gospel that would understand that no matter whether you agree or not, you're going to love each other. We have clergies that we don't agree theologically in things. But if one of us gets sick, we're all praying. They send out that email, everybody's praying. And God forbid the Lord takes one of us home. We all try to get there, to be with their family, to be with... Because no matter what, we have to find a place to love. That's what it means. We can't sing that song, they know that we're Christian by our love, and we don't try to practice it. I may not love what you do. You may not love what I do all the time. But guess what? I love you because Christ commanded it. I love you because we're called to love. We are called to love each other in the midst of everything. That's what we're praying for our church, our denomination, for that no matter what happens in the future, no matter where we end up, 2-3 divisions, whatever may end up, whatever may not happen, that at the end of the day, we still what? Love each other. Because you know the person that you sit next to you, or maybe you don't love them, may end up being your neighbor in heaven. Maybe you'll be sharing a room. Who knows? Praise God. There's a match. Praise God. Thanks be to God. You and I, could you imagine? Jesus is smarter than that. And so we give God thanks for his word, friends. We give God thanks for his word and for his love for us. Amen.